We've been working through Hebrews as a church in the last several months. And there is a phrase that's at the end of Hebrews that I want to give to you today. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, and it is verse 25. Here's what it says. Grace be with all of you. Grace be with all of you. It's such a simple phrase, but yet when you look at it closely, I think it should rock you at the core of your being. Let me explain. Grace is defined as the free, unmerited favor of God. I'm not sure if you believe in God or not, but even if you don't believe in God, He is real and He gave each of us life. And by His grace, He has allowed us to be here today. I think it's incredible that you've been given life. I like life. I hope you like life as well. And it's a good life, is it not? Now, we could be in a lot of different places. We could be outside today, and it would not be good, right? A year ago at this point in time, if I would have said, hey, let's have a service at the new First Wesleyan Church along Marlin Drive, everybody would have been like, no, we're not doing that because it would be cold today. Grace has been given to us. God's grace is limitless, unending, forever, and it can be yours. But why? Why is it that so many reject it? Why do some say no to God's grace? Maybe it's because some people are like, well, it's not for me. I don't want that. Maybe it's because it doesn't seem right. Maybe because we're not sure what to do with it. Maybe we want to pay for it. And the author is saying at the closing of his book, he says this, grace be with all of you. Let me change that just a moment and say, grace be with each of you. It's not just an all, it's just not everybody, it's an each deal. But you may be saying, it's not for me. And I say, why not? Why not live a life totally submerged in God's grace? When you live there, it changes you. It is unlimited, it lasts forever, and it looks past all the junk and all the craziness of life. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of days gone by. And he tells us a story. A man visited a woman that he knew to be in great financial need. He visited with a generous gift to help her with her expenses. So he went and he knocked on the door. When she heard the knock on the door, she panicked and she hid so no one would know she was there. The next weekend, he told about this visit. He said, I came and I visited you, and I knocked on your door. And she said this, I heard you, but I did not realize it was you. I thought it was my landlord collecting the rent that I needed to pay, but I could not. The man came desiring to give, but she mistook him for someone coming to take. We may think, this is what I must do for God, but instead it should be, here it is, this is what God has done for us. He came in the form of a babe. Sometimes we view God as messing up what we have, and so we hide, we go away, we wander. This Christmas, may you rest in God's grace. Jesus came as a baby to give us grace. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's any person in the world that will give grace, it's a little baby. Now, all you've got to do is change the diaper, feed, and hold the baby, and they give you a lot of grace, don't they? Now, some of us in this room, we're a little older and we're a little more codgier than babies, right? We're a little fussy. We want the soup to be hot in a certain way. We want all these things to be perfect. But a little baby gives grace. And that's how God came. And that's how He gives you His grace. See, I believe this. Man and woman, male and female, all made in the image of God. Thus, I believe He designed all of us, each one of us, to be Christ followers. And thus, we are not at peace until we accept His grace. If you find yourself in this room this morning and you've never accepted His grace, I'm telling you, there is so much peace that you can have. You may think you have wonderful peace, but I'm telling you, God designed us to be Christ followers. During the time of the Civil War, there was a Union soldier who was arrested on charges of desertion. He couldn't prove his innocence and was condemned and sentenced to die because he deserted. His appeal made it all the way to the desk of President Abraham Lincoln. Mr. Lincoln felt mercy for him, and so he signed a pardon for that soldier. The soldier returned to battle and fought the rest of the war, and he was killed in the last battle. In his chest pocket was found the signed letter of the President of the United States. Close to the heart of the soldier were the leader's word of pardon. When you accept Christ, when you live a Christ-filled life, right next to your heart is his grace for you and I. Hear these words from Martin Luther. Although out of pure grace, God does not impute our sins to us, he nonetheless did not want to do this until complete and ample satisfaction of his law and his righteousness had been made. Since this was impossible for us, God ordained for us in our place one who took upon himself all the punishment we deserve. He fulfilled the law for us. He averted the judgment of God from us and appeased God's wrath. Grace, therefore, cost us nothing, but it cost another one. It cost another one much to get it for us. Grace was purchased with an incalculable, infinite treasure, the Son of God himself. Know that God's grace is for you today because he came to our world as a little babe. You can choose to take it or not. And I encourage you to grab it and hold on to it tight. There was an Olympic diver. He was a young man and he'd been raised an atheist. And his only religious influence had been an outspoken Christian friend. However, the diver didn't really pay much attention to him at all. One night, the diver determined that he was going to go and he was going to work on some of his dives. And so he went into the indoor pool of the college that he attended. The lights were off, but the pool had big skylights and the moon was bright, so there was plenty of light to practice by. The young man climbed up to the edge of the board. He turned around and he faced the back of the building, and so he was faced backwards. And as he got ready to dive, he extended his arms out. You've seen divers do that. You've seen them extend their arms out. And he extended his arms out. The moonlight caught his arms. And there on the wall, he saw Jesus on the cross. So he didn't see Jesus on the cross, but he saw the shape of a cross. That young man determined right then and there that he would kneel. And so he walked away from his jump. He knelt and he prayed. And he finally asked God to come into his life. The young man stood. There just happened to be a maintenance man that walked in and turned the lights on. The pool had been drained for repairs. The grace of God is extended to each of us. Why did you find yourself here today? Maybe somebody said you need to come with me. But I believe that you're here today because of that one word, and it's called grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could be a number of different places. Receive grace. Let the favor of God be toward you and his grace continually working in you and with you, bringing forth the fruits of holiness as the first fruits of glory. I pray this Christmas that you will understand God's grace. Rejoice in his birth. I offer you to the one, offer to you the one who exhibits and provides for you each day. Accept his grace. Be willing to live in his grace and then expand in his grace. Hear these words from Oswald Chambers. We talk as if it were the most precarious thing to live the sanctified life. It is the most secure thing because it has Almighty God in and behind it. The most precarious thing is to try and live without God. When you really see Jesus, every time you get into personal contact with Jesus, his words are real. My peace I give unto you. It's a peace all over from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, an irrepressible confidence. Your life is hid with Christ in God, and the imperturbable peace of Jesus Christ is imparted to you. That is the grace of God to you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that's here today. I pray that we would all understand your grace today, even those seasoned saints that are in this room, that we may just understand again, or for the very first time, the grace that you have just given to us. I pray that each person, as they leave today, they would just sense your grace and your peace in their lives, and they would accept your grace given to them on this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.